Why settle for court jesters when you can have three kings? Here are your hosts, Roy, Davari, and Dan. It's the Three Kings of the Midway Podcast.
Everybody, welcome to the Three Kings of the Midway Podcast, or Kings, depending on your vernacular. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I know it's been a minute. You know, we've been on these Twitter streets. A couple of us appeared on other people's podcasts, but the Three Kings have been formed like Voltron to give y'all that good. It's been a lot of... We back, gentlemen. Hey, that's what happens when life gets in the way, man.
Yeah, man. Sometimes things happen, you know what I mean?
Hey, shit happens, man, from time to time, but it's all good. But we had a lot of shit jump off since we've been gone, so I'm going to let Will go ahead and get into it.
Man, it's crazy. Nothing like crazy, but I do want to touch on one thing, because now that OTAs have started, right, and the word we're hearing out of camp is that a new acquisition, DJ Moore and Justin Fields, are already starting to build that bond, right? And we said this, when you get a guy who's a number one, when he they said he moves different, the way he's in and out of his breaks, his cuts, his professionalism, the way he carries himself. And I mean, this is with Chase Claypool and Darnell Mooney on the roster, and everybody know how everybody loves Darnell Mooney and his professionalism. They're like, it's another level. DJ Moore is a notch above both those guys, and this to see him and Justin building that rapport, man, that's how the pass, people want to talk about the passing game and Justin and the passing game. Well, you need that dude. Oh, we've seen this too many times, bro. We said this. We saw it with Jalen Hurts when he got AJ Brown. We saw it with Josh Allen when he got Stephon Diggs. We see this. Oh, we saw it with Burrow when he got Chase. They need that guy that they know they can go to. You need that guy. When Dan said it, he said, how you gonna have a 4,000 yard pass when you don't have people that can get 1,500 yards? We got that guy now, dude. We got a guy that Justin probably gonna chuck the ball to 120 times a season, bro. And that's gonna be huge for the rest of the offense, man. And I know we're starting to get a little optimistic. So how y'all fellas feeling about it? That's how I felt. That's probably one of the most important things I saw this offseason, was that him and DJ Moore are already starting to click.
I love it. But I also, I approach this with, as they say, kid gloves, right? Because it's going to take time. I mean, it's dope, you know, that they run it against guys in practice and OTAs and everything like that. But give it time, people. Okay, because again, where, you know, once we trot this out, you know, out there week one against the Packers, which I will be there, week one against the Packers, you know what I'm saying? I got a feeling that one, I think we're gonna kick their ass, but two, give it time to mature, folks. You know, if it don't hit the ground running in the first quarter, don't start with the crazy ass tweets of, oh, this was a fire poles, this was a stupid trade, oh, this was garbage. How could they look at DJ Moore? He only has 40 yards in the first half. He's trash. We wasted picks.
They're gonna do it.
They're gonna do it. So I want people to give it time, man.
First incompletion.
Exactly. First incompletion, first drop back. Boo! Like, damn. Damn.
It's coming.
He ain't even threw the ball yet. It's coming. Know what I'm saying?
They now Montana and Rice day one.
Exactly. So, you know, it is what it is. It's just, you know, as we let this thing go through, you know what I'm saying? And as we let it go through and we let it mature, you know what I'm saying? And what they call maturate, you know what I'm saying? That's what I like. That's what I like. So give it time. But the thing that I'm most excited about is the fact that my quarterback can stand upright and don't have to run for his life now, because on that right side with Tevin Jenkins and Darnell, I'm drawing a blank on his last name.
Darnell, right. I think Tevin.
Right.
Yeah, Tevin going to be on the left.
No, okay. Tevin going to be on the right.
Nate Davis.
So we got Nate Davis. And Darnell right on the right side. Yeah. So we got the right man for the right job on the right side. That's a damn brick wall. Then on top of that, you know, you got 2 6'7", 6'8" behemoths over on the left side. And mm-hmm. and that's probably the reason why they threw Tevin Jenkins over there to help out. To help out Braxton Jones on the left side.
Stronger, you know,
physicality.
Exactly, yeah. Because they're two big physical men. You know what I'm saying? That's going to be hard for somebody to push past. You know, so I look at it at this standpoint. It's great that my quarterback is going to be able to stand upright. Now, instead of having a running back situation where we have one featured back, we have three featured backs now. And Khalil Herbert, Deontay Foreman, and now Rashawn Johnson. Hey, kudos to Dan on that one, because that was Dan's pick. Yeah. Dan said, why is everybody going? He was like, look, I want Bijan Robinson, but if we don't get Bijan Robinson, the next best thing is to get his backup, Rashawn Johnson. He called that one. Kudos to Dan on that one. So,
that dude is a good player. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm excited to see what this offense is going to do this upcoming season. Not only am I excited to see the offense, but this is I'm excited to see what the defense is going to do with the linebackers. And trust me, folks, I'm saying this right now as we record this show at 4:19 p.m. on June 5th. And I give it about another 4 weeks. I give it a 4 week span. We are going to sign a blockbuster deal with some rush edge guy. And maybe, I don't know who it is, but as you can see, Buffalo just did it when they picked up they just signed Leonard Floyd, right? There's more rush ends out there, folks. And I'm telling you, we have the cash capital to do it. We have the cap space to do it. And we got, and the spot is wide open. So, you know, I'm excited. So I'm going to leave it at that. We ain't even went over all the draft picks yet. I'm just excited. I'm excited for what this year can be. I'm not going to get crazy, but yo, we can
going in the right direction.
Big things.
It's going in the right direction.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a lot to look forward to. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to touch on three things real quick. One, number one is what you said at the outset, Devorah, you know, with Bears Twitter, trust and believe. They're going to come out and it's going to be boos. Absolutely. It's going to be naysayers. It's going to be, you know, the skeptical
first spaces
weirdos that come out of the gutters. You know what I'm saying?
A lot of them die.
I'm posting the picture, man. They coming out the gutters. Trust me. That, my boy coming out the gutter. Yeah, that's going to be them. But, you know, it reminds me of, you remember that movie? It's one of my three favorite football movies. Remember the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
And in that movie, you know, that the coach, lose one game and you're fired, basically.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way Bears Twitter is, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like as soon as they have one bad game, one bad drive even, you're gonna see Twitter explode and people being upset. You know, just same thing with Jalen Johnson. Jalen Johnson, that is, you know, where he didn't show up for OTAs. This is a normal thing, people. Like, I didn't read too much into it. It's a normal thing. He's in his fourth year. He's, you know, on his last year of his deal. The least amount of time that you can show up to work is what you're going to show up, because you don't want to risk any type of injury, any type of pull, strain, whatever you want to call it. So, you know, it is what it is. He did something with his daughter, and, you know, he's back in Chicago now, and he's making things work. So it is.
He did a charity golf tournament.
Yeah, charity golf tournament. He's with Justin Fields hanging out. You know, I think he's all in. I think he does want to get paid, of course. Everybody does. You know what I mean? And for people sitting here saying, well, you know, he shouldn't get paid this or blah, blah, blah. You should want to get as much money as possible. Let's just be real. The shelf life on an NFL career is small. It's short. So get as much money as you can. You know what I mean? Is he going to be a top paid cornerback? Of course not. Calm down, people. He's not getting that much money, but he will get paid some money. You know what I mean? Hopefully. So it is what it is. We'll see how that goes. As far as the offensive line goes, you know what I mean? I'm looking forward to some of the things that's happening out there. You know, they got a lot of things that they can shore up still on the offensive line. It's going to be a work in progress because these guys got to work in unison. So I'm looking to see how they come together as a unit, you know what I'm saying? And are able to pick up blocks and, you know, pick up blocks for each other, double team the right guy, you know what I mean? Be able to read those things. Those are all part of the offensive line blocking scheme. So we'll see how it goes. Until they show up and do that, I'm gonna reserve, you know, my excitement for the offensive line until I know that they can do that competently. And then, of course, with the wide receiver position, having DJ Moore is outstanding, man. Because, like, you know, you get a guy, like you said, Will, he's moving at a different – he's moving differently, right? Mm-hmm. And it's nothing like being around normal people and then you get around somebody that's been to even college, right? Mm-hmm. That guy moves differently. You've said it on this podcast several times. I played ball and I was good. But when I got against D1 talent, it was like, mm-hmm. these dudes are different. You know what I'm saying? These guys are different. And I mean, and it's plain to see. Like, I've looked at guys who are doing, you know, cornerback drills. And I had a homeboy, he went to Louisville, right? And that's not a major program in college football scheme, right? But mm-hmm. but it's a D1 school and it's top-notch talent out there. So, you know, we went to this little park and guys was like, you know, they was showing off, you know, oh, I can lock this dude up. I can lock that dude up. I'm like, look at my boy, like right now, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And he goes out there, his name is Kevin Ware. He goes out there and his movement is so different. You know Kevin Ware, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. So his movement is so different than anybody else's mm-hmm. movement out there. And they was like, just the fluidity of his moves, you know what I mean? His ability to change direction, move, go this way, go that way, switch, turn, get to top-notch speed in the blink of mm-hmm. an eye. All those things are so much different. And mm-hmm. that's what people are being able to see when it comes to a guy like DJ Moore. His movement is different. Fundamentals, all of that stuff is different. So, you know, it's going to be nice to see it. I'm excited to see what happens with it. You know, it's just good to have a legit guy who's going to be a number one receiver and to see this wide receiver room, not even just him, but Darnell mm-hmm. Mooney going into his Tyler natural Scott. Position.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Fast.
Tyler Scott, they talked about his movement out there. Yeah. Chase Claypool, these are all pieces that you know, they were obviously in the wrong position and now they're somewhat getting into their right positions. And it's going to make that team flourish even more. So, you know, we'll see how it goes, man. I'm looking forward to big things and hopefully they continue to have this little maturation process, you might say.
I believe that wide receiver room, and this is the honest to God truth, and people may call me crazy for it, right? But I truly believe that wide receiver room can be just as good as the Cincinnati wide receiver room. Just as good. Just as good. You can't tell me, you cannot tell me that T. Higgins and Chase Claypool ain't ideal. You can't tell
height
me
and size. Height and size. I'll say T. Higgins got an edge on.
Well,
on Chase
I mean,
right now.
every year that T. Higgins has been in the league, he's only been getting 1,000 yards.
Yeah.
You know. So, and the same. And if we look at Chase Claypool from a standpoint of when he was in Pittsburgh before last year, he was getting 800-900 yards. Mm-hmm. That's pretty mm-hmm. much interchangeable. It is. That's pretty much interchangeable.
If now, you look at what he did, I mean, you know, like you said, to your point, I mean, getting 15 yards per catch, the touchdowns that he had his first year.
His rookie year, dude. 11, was insane. Yeah. Yeah.
Something like that, 10, 11 touchdowns. Exactly. Pretty easy. You know, so yeah, you're speaking to the right points there. Go ahead, though.
And then think about now, the thing is we don't know what DJ Moore is capable of with a capable quarterback, right? We don't know yet. However, we know what he done with pretty much garbage at the position throwing him the ball.
Right.
Right?
It was.
We know was what it top, was when it was pretty much what? Garbage.
Top 10 with garbage?
Yeah, his stats over that one stat over like his first 5 years, he's like, there's only five players who put up better stats. It's like Randy Moss, like, you know,
so
Megatron is like crazy.
Exactly. So factor that in as well. So now he has a competent quarterback who can get it to him in every spot the way he wanted and everything else. He could be everything. He could put up the same numbers as Ja'Marr Chase in this offense. That's the honest to God truth. That's a strong possibility. And there's no way, and then moving on, there is no way that you can tell me that Darnell Mooney can't put up the same numbers that Tyler Boyd puts up.
Well, he's already done it.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. In this office. So it is a strong possibility that this wide receiver room can be just as capable and productive as the Cincinnati Bengals wide receiver room.
And we ain't got no old talent. These are young
exactly.
guys.
Exactly. These are all young pups.
DJ Moore is the oldest one. And he's 26.
Yeah, these are all young pups. And we ain't even talked about Tyler Scott and how he can take the top off.
Right.
Yeah, all these guys can. All these guys are 4'4", 4'3 guys. That's the crazy part about Absolutely. It. Oh, this is the stat. It's the stat the NFL put out. It was by NFL Game Day. DJ Moore has the fifth most receiving yards all before the age of 26. Yeah. He's fifth. And the only people ahead of him, he got 5,200 yards. And he trails only Randy Moss, Mike Evans, Larry Fitzgerald, and DeAndre Hopkins.
That's a good company,
that's
bro.
Just yards.
That's just yards. And that's just with, you know, with Cam for what? Cam, he was
his
with
shoulder
Cam
was
in
shot
20,
out.
2018 and 19.
Sam Darnold.
And then after that, he was gone. So
PJ, our backup, PJ Williams. Who else he had? He had Kyle Allen. Yeah, he was playing with, like you said, he was playing with a bunch of Baker Mayfield. You know, he was playing with a bunch of different quarterbacks. He still was balling. But I do want to say this.
One thing too about DJ Moore is that he's not a one-trick pony, people.
No. At all.
Like I want people to understand that, yeah, he can be a possession guy, but he can also do so much more, right? He can be the decoy. He can be the guy that takes the top off, too. And to prove that,
at Atlanta
2020,
game.
2020, 66 catches, 1,193 yards. How much is that per catch? 18.1 yards. That's in a whole year. There ain't many wide receivers that can do that, that can get 18 yards per catch. Every single year, matter of fact.
Well, you got 66 catches, you got 1,000 yards. You know you picking up some yards.
Yeah.
Last year he got
A-Rod would get up 1,100 off 100 catches.
Exactly.
Right.
For example.
Exactly. You right around 10. You hovering around 10.4 or 9.9. Yeah.
So you're right. Like DeVore, you're right. So if you give this guy 90 catches and he getting 1,800 yards a catch.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you putting up 1,500 yards.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, 90 catches, 1,500 yards. You a monster. Those monster stats right there, bro.
Yes, sir.
That's number one wide receiver.
Yeah, that's monster stats right there. They ain't know I'm getting 12 yards a catch.
Right.
He gets jacked, man. That's what I like about DJ Moore. He turns into a running back once he gets that ball in his hand.
Exactly.
He's a wide receiver before. When you get the ball, he's a running back. And that's what the Bears need. We talked about this for a long time. How you get those yards, right? Those quarterbacks that get all 4,000, 5,000 yards. Look at Kansas City. Bro, that ain't Pat Mahomes. He gets a lot of air yards, but it ain't a whole lot. He throws the ball he can throw the ball on a slant to Kelce, and he's going to break a tackle and pick up 15 yards. Yep. And this is how these guys get these yards.
Look at Brady.
Yeah. These guys are getting
yak. Check down King, bro.
Yeah, these guys are picking up yak. Yeah. You know, if you catching the ball and you just falling down, like people want to live in this fantasy world. They think the quarterback just throw the ball, you know, 30 yards every pass. No, bro, they throw a 10-yard freaking dig. The dude picks up 15 yards as he breaks the tackle, and that's how you get all those damn yards in the offense. But I do want to say this. We had a draft. We didn't really get a chance to address it. I'm gonna address it first. Like who's your favorite pick? That's not Darnell Wright. Because everybody, you know, we wanted to tackle. We got Darnell Wright. So I'll go with my first favorite pick. I know who Dan's is. And he quietly is one of mine, but I won't pick him. I already know who you're gonna pick. But but after like looking it up and doing my research, I like Stevenson out of Miami. I didn't do a whole lot of work on cornerbacks. So I kind of, I looked at a few guys, but I really didn't dig deep. And when I like really went and dug deep, because they had like his cutups are like a Senior Bowl. And I was watching him at Senior Bowl where he was just one-on-one. You know, the one-on-one, it always goes to the offensive player, right? Because he has to guard this player that he has to react. This dude was locking dudes up. He was locking cats up when I was watching that Senior Bowl stuff. And then I started looking at some of his cutups of Miami. Like he can hit dude. The dude's like 6'1", 200 pounds, runs a 4'4". He kind of just, he reminds me of a cornerback that played for Eberflus in Indianapolis, Rocky Sin. He reminds me, when I was watching him play, I was like, he reminds me of Rocky. Just that hard-nosed kind of cover two cornerback that, you know, like, you know, Rocky Sin, not Peanut. He ain't Peanut, but kind of that mold where he's tall, he's physical, he can hit, he's sticky in coverage. And after a while, he kind of became one of my favorite like players in the draft. You know what I mean? He don't get a lot of pub. You starting to see him get a little pub. Like now, that he's playing in OTAs, like, oh, he broke up a pass, he got an interception, but he's like, he became quietly one of my favorite draft picks out of all these guys. And I like a lot of these picks, but he's like one of my, he's one of my favorite.
My favorite pick in this draft. If I had to scroll through all of them, man, it's kind of tough, but my favorite picks, I like them all. Like, I really love all our picks, and I ain't gonna lie, I ain't gonna be biased and go Tyler Scott, you know, because he run like he got a jetpack in his ass, like literally. But
he does.
My favorite pick of this draft, I would have to say, I'm perplexed, but I got to go with the defensive picks of the two D tackles and the two corners. I love those picks because those two D tackles, they were used wrong where they were at, and they're going to be used properly with us. Not only that, but those two corners are each 6 foot two, each 6'2". Remember I said on an older podcast, I said, you know, it seems like we are going to be the new Legion of Boom. We are going to put together a defense with a bunch of no-names that don't nobody know about, but yet they fit the metrics, they play hard. Our corners are going to be long, tall, and rangy. Our linebackers are going to be mean, hostile, agile, and mobile, and that defensive line is going to be explosive. Well, our defensive secondary is set back there. We set back there with Eddie Jackson and I can't think of nobody
Brisker.
Today.
Brisker.
Yeah, Brisker. I can't think of nobody named today for some reason. Then, of course, we got Jalen Johnson on the other side. I'm pretty sure Stevenson is going to win that left corner job. And then we're going to have Gordon in at the nickel, right? Then, of course, at the linebacker spot, you know, you've got Tremaine Edwards, you know, head hunting in the middle. Then, of course, you know, we picked up we still got
Sanborn
and the other linebacker that we picked up, Edwards. So we got Edwards from Philly. So that linebacking core is set. Man, and we picked up Noah Sewell. Excited. I'm going to be excited seeing this defense, man, and seeing how they use these players and how they come out. Man, I'm pumped, but. Those four defensive players, the two corners and the two D tackles, is what I'm excited about the most because they have the biggest upside to turn this thing on its head and literally take this defense to the next level.
Yeah, them some boys, man. They got a really good draft class. I like what Poles has done. I like what he's drafting for. He's addressing the needs, of course, but he's also adding talent and stacking talent. I've always talked about that. You got to stack talent on top of what you have. I don't want somebody that I'm going to slide in the bottom and, you know, hopefully he becomes good. You know what I mean? No, give me talent that's better than what I had last year. You know what I mean? Something that I can build. Now I'll build on that. You know what I mean? That's your foundation. So that's what I'm looking for. As far as my favorite pick, of course, it's going to be Roschon Johnson, man. Like, that dude is a monster. Like I followed him for a long time. And it's not just because I got an affinity for Texas football, of course, right? But he's a different, you follow his story and you listen to what happened when he was in Texas. It's crazy. He was recruited to Texas as a quarterback, as a dual threat quarterback. A couple weeks before the season started, they had a ton of injuries to the running backs. And they switched his position to running back. He became the running back, the lead back, right? So he was the lead back as a freshman. He was learning the position, everything like that, but he's done everything they wanted him to do, right? So, you know, you think about being able to block and run. He's fast. He's powerful. He's 6 foot, 219 pounds, and he has a little bit of tread. It's not David Montgomery coming out of Iowa State who you know, was handed the ball 200, 250 times in college. Right, he's playing behind Bijan Robinson, which means he's had this. And then if you look at all the scouting reports that I've seen, you know, this guy has been labeled as a guy that's going to be a starter in the NFL. Bijan Robinson. Everybody said it. Bijan Robinson is the dog. He is. He's better than Roshan. I'm not saying he's Roshan, but at the same time, this dude ain't no slouch in the backfield. He runs. He can pass block. He can catch the ball out the backfield. He does everything you ask him to do. And unquestioned, he was the leader for Texas as well. So on a team where he wasn't even the best at his skill position, he was still the leader of the team. And Bijan Robinson and those other guys looked at him as the leader. And that's what you want. You know what I mean? You want guys like that. And I think that's what Poles is really focused on, right? He's focused on getting high character guys, guys who have something to offer the locker room and things like that. And this guy is one of those good type of guys. So I'm looking forward to him, man. I think it was an excellent choice. He was the third running back that I saw. I said Bijan was the one. Second to me was Gibbs, and then Zach Charbonnet and Roshan was like right there at 3-4-4-3-4-4-3. You can interchange those guys, and that's what I wanted. You know what I mean? I thought we had no chance to get Bijan or Gibbs, and I was like, I'll go with Roshan, and I was happy to have him. I mean, like I said, he's done everything. 47 games at Texas. Started five of them, you know what I mean? He's had a willingness to handle any responsibility that they gave him. That's all you can ask for. That's a football player. That's what you want. So, you know, at the end of the day, that's what we got in that position. And to get him in the fourth round, that's possibly going to be your starter. And I'm going to read a quote from the Chicago Bears Southwest area scout, John Seide. I don't know if I pronounced that right. His last name is S-Y-T-Y. He said, I have a feeling this guy is going to be with us for a long time. So he knows that this kid, he has what it takes to be a starting caliber running back in the NFL and be very productive. So I'm looking forward to it. I think he's a really, really good pick for the Bears. But like Nez said, I mean, I think all of the picks were really good. And that's not just homerism speaking. That's study these guys. Like Will said, I mean, Stevenson is a monster, bro. Stevenson can play, bro. You know, 6 foot, 214 pounds, long, fast, physical at the line of scrimmage. That's the type of cornerbacks that Eberflus likes. So you see what he's doing. He wants guys that can tackle out there on the island by themselves. That's not going to give up the draws. You know what I'm saying? And stuff like that. So, you know, these guys that they drafted, man, real good draft class, in my opinion.
Yeah, man. Like, the thing about Roshan, like, I like watching it. I like watching him play. Like, I was the other day, I was just on YouTube, just typing in Roshan Johnson highlights, dude. You know what I mean? Just watching him play, dude. It was fun to watch, like, watching him block, because he was blocking for Bijan a lot. Like, this dude was, like, taking fools out, dude. Like, you watching Bijan run the ball, and you just see him run and smack a linebacker, bro.
It's a play where they're playing against Colorado, and he, like, folds my man backwards at the goal line as he ran him over into the end zone for the touchdown. Like, damn.
Yeah.
He's also good at breaking tackles. Last year, he had 93 carries last year, 3.96 yards after contact on each carry.
Yeah.
And this was a high school quarterback in Texas. Yeah. A high school quarterback.
That's amazing. After being touched, probably the most amazing part.
Yeah.
After being touched, another 4 yards after you touch me.
Yes. And he can catch the ball out of the backfield. He had one where he caught the ball. The same thing like Demo would do. That's Tyreek Cohen. Just reach out with one paw and catch it. I'm like, dude, you a quarterback? That's how you know that dude play football, because when you put him at running back, you couldn't even tell he was a quarterback.
Athletic.
Yep. You know what I mean? Because he looks like a running back. You like, he play quarterback?
Yep.
Like, he literally runs in between tackles. I ain't never seen a quarterback. People like to joke and call Justin Fields a running back. But Justin Fields ain't running in between no tackles like that, bro. He just fast and hit the outside and ran out of bounds. Like, this dude is running between tackles, taking on linebackers. I was like, this dude played quick. And then continuing to run. So he's a good player. Like Ned said, like, I like this draft play. I see what they were doing. I want to touch on something. Let's get on the Javon Dexter thing, dude, because a lot of people saying his get off was slow. And a lot of us who did a little research, we found out what they were doing. They would call him mirroring. So they would basically snap the ball. He would wait and see what was going to happen. Then he would attack. Mm-hmm. And now he's in camp. All of a sudden, people are like, hey, this dude has get off. Yeah. He's actually explosive. He's actually dominant.
I could have told you that. All you had to do was look at this. Look. See, this is how you know a lot of people don't pay attention to certain things. At the combine, he ran a 4.8840.
Mm-hmm.
At 6'6", 310 pounds, you run a 4.88.
And then his broad jump.
That's get off, bro. You got to have get off to run that.
Because that's what Eberflus said. He said, but no, it was not Eberflus. I'm going to let you finish, but it was not the... Who's our defensive coordinator? Ron Marinelli. He's like, how can you tell a guy can play three tech? He said the broad jump. Go ahead, Dan.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What y'all posted on Twitter, and then, you know, shout out to Adam Rank. He showed me love on that, you know what I'm saying, on his podcast, The Sick with Adam Rank. But, you know, Jerron Dexter, his broad jump was up there, was the same as Aaron Donald's. The exact same. The exact same. And then, of course, the other D tackle that we drafted out of South Carolina.
And just to put that in perspective, people, when he says it was the exact same as Aaron Donald, Aaron Donald is 6 foot two, 6 foot one, actually.
Yeah, 6'1".
280 pounds or whatever. Yeah. He's a smaller man and lighter man, so he should be able to jump further, right?
Yeah.
This dude is 6'6", 310 pounds. That's legit, bro. That's legit. So, you know, to have that type of athleticism and that type of get off is outstanding. Go ahead, Nez. My bad, bro.
Oh, you good. So, you know, and then I'm sorry, the other cat that we drafted out of South
Pickens.
Carolina. Yeah.
Zach Pickens.
His broad jump was just as explosive as Gerald McCoy's. And you know, the next tier of top D tackles in the league. So we got two of them that's super explosive, freakish athletic, and can play the three tech.
Yeah, you can have those guys. We don't know how good these guys are going to be, but like with the thing, what I try to tell people, you got to understand like what a team is going to ask of these dudes, right? It's not necessarily, are they a superstar right now? What are they going to ask them to do? The Bears defense is a one gap penetration defense. In college, they were asked to do something else. In the Bears' offense, the defensive line has the easiest job. It's rush the passer. And they stop the run. They stop the run on the way to the passer. That's what they do. They shoot the gap. They go upfield. So these guys don't have to think, man. All these guys got to do is say, I need to get in that backfield. And then we can figure it out after that. That's the beautiful thing about the way what this defense does, man, is that those guys can take advantage. Now, if you take those same guys and you put them in a different system, a two-gapping system, and, you know, they got to watch two gaps, they got to think, you may have a little bit of a different result. But I think it'll work, you know, long as these guys can get in there and do what they got to do. Like, the defensive line is not as much, you know, that they got to think about, like, with the cornerbacks and zone concepts and man concepts and passing people off. All they got to do is rush. Rushmen. That's what Marinara used to call the defensive lineman. Rushmen. They are rushmen. And so I think we solid on the interior. We can talk about the edges because I think people, you know, we got some question marks. We picked up Walker, who I think is a solid guy. But he, in his career, he's been more like a 5'7" sack guy. We picked up Rasheem Green. He's kind of the same thing. He's more like a 5'6", 7" sack guy. We don't have like a dominant edge rusher. I do want to address that too. And I want to kind of prepare people the way Eberflus plays defense. His teams don't get a lot of sacks. The Colts always had top 10 offenses. They didn't get a lot of sacks. I went back to 2021. The Colts, even with DeForest Buckner as their three technique, they got 33 sacks. That was like bottom 10 in NFL, but they had a top 10 defense. They rush four. Unless you got a dominant player like Julius Peppers, this defense ain't gonna get a lot of sacks. This ain't the Vic Fangio defense where we had Akeem Hicks and Khalil Mack and Robert Quinn and these guys rushing from all these. This defense does not get a lot of sacks. Don't expect. I'm preparing, and we don't have the talent to get a lot of sacks anyway. They're probably gonna be good at stopping a run.
Mm-hmm.
They got good cornerbacks, good safeties, good linebackers. They're gonna be good in coverage. It's going to be a lot of bend and don't break. I'm preparing people. That's the type of defense we're going to be playing in Chicago for, you know, and they're going to try to generate turnovers. The reason why Eberflus defense is so good, They play the bend but don't break, and they generated turnover because they were always stripping at the ball. They were always intercepting the ball. But one thing they didn't do, they didn't get a lot of sacks. 33 sacks. That year, the Chicago Bears, that was the last year we had Khalil Mack, right? We got, what were we? The Chicago Bears, where were we at? We were third or fourth. We had 49 sacks that year. Mm-hmm. We were a top 10 sack team that year, and the Colts were like a bottom 10. But the Colts had a better defense than us because they ranked higher on DVO and all that. So I'm just preparing people. We might get an edge rusher, but don't expect this team to get 50 sacks. Yeah. I'm just preparing people. It ain't gonna happen.
And to put it in perspective, though, to draw it all together, think about this, Bears fans. Let's say they get 33. Let's say they have a bottom 10, like you said, right? That's what they were. The Colts were bottom 10.
Yeah, they were bottom 10.
So bottom 10 with 33, that's still double what we had at 17 this year.
That was horrible. Let's get 30.
33 is basically double what we had last year. So, you know what I mean? It'll be a marked improvement. Even if we don't have 50 sacks, you can't go nowhere but up in this situation, yeah. Right? So, you know, just be prepared for an improvement. But is it going to be when Khalil Mack joined? Of course not. I'm with you on that. They're going to have to add some pieces, you know what I mean? And Nez alluded to it, you know what I mean? He said, hey, you might have somebody that gets picked up or whatever, you know what I mean? Or a trade that takes place. It's so many things that can happen, right? So, you know, we'll see what happens. I expect them to pick somebody up, to bring somebody in to be an edge rusher, because we need to have some pressure from the edges, right? Now, if Rasheem Green and those boys step up and they can do something, maybe Travis Gibson, maybe he steps up. I don't know.
Thor hammer. You better call on Thor.
Yeah, right. Man. He let me down last year, bro. He let me down. But
Dominique Robinson started off hot, and then he went away.
He flamed out after that. I didn't think he was gonna be that great because, you know, it takes some time. That's his first time actually playing the position at all, at the highest level. So it was gonna be a learning curve for him. We'll see what happens with him. They do have some pieces, and at the end of the day, they have so many pieces right now that you could just rotate these guys in. If anything, it keeps everybody fresh. That way, at the end of the game, when you really need these guys, they'll be a little bit fresher than the offensive line will be, right, that they're going against. So at that point in time, then maybe they'll be able to tee off on somebody at that point in time. So, you know, even if you don't have a dominant edge rusher, keep the guys fresh, keep this rotation nice. You know, you got Billings on the inside, you got Justin Jones on the inside. They have a nice rotation of players that they could throw out there.
Yeah, they legitimately
over and over, just waves of
legitimately
guys
eight deep. They legitimately eight deep on the defense.
That can get you. That can get you about 2 to 3 sacks a game alone, just fresh bodies.
Exactly. So if they're able to do that, then maybe that's what they're doing. Maybe that's the route that they're going until they can find the pieces long term that they want. Yeah. You know what I mean? So we'll see.
That run game, I believe, is going to be serious for us. I think that is going to be serious. Like, seriously, all jokes aside, and I wasn't even counting in my man that we got from Seattle. I'm looking at it from a standpoint.
Homer? Yeah, he's going to be special team. Yeah.
Travis Homer?
Yeah. I'm looking at it from a standpoint of Herbert, Foreman, and Johnson in waves. It's not who's the hot hand because, again, that one thing that we do know, one thing we do know is that offensive line is going to block. They're going to open some holes in that run game.
And don't get it twisted, people. Foreman's a big back. Roshan Johnson's big back. But those guys are fast, too.
Yes, absolutely.
Like, Roshan Johnson returned punts in college.
Yeah.
You know, Deontay Foreman, he did the same thing. He's a speed.
Texas boys.
Them Texas boys.
They can run, bro.
Yeah. Then Khalil Herbert's the change of pace. I think Khalil Herbert's that change of pace back. Because when you get pounded by Foreman and then Roshan, then you get the little quick Herbert up in there. It's gonna be, and then Justin still can run it.
Yeah, that's why
I don't think he's gonna run it as much, but
it's gonna be exciting. And then of course the tight end game. You know, we got Robert Tonyan.
Yep.
Man, and then we of course, you know, we got Cole Kmet, Robert Tonyan.
Oh, and we outlined the people that, you know, those numbers that people look at, yards of separation. Mm-hmm. Tonyan and Cole Kmet was 1-2.
Yep.
1-2 in the NFL.
Yeah.
At getting you know, open, you might say,
and the beautiful part,
separation yards, you might say.
The wide receivers gonna open it up even more because you go DJ Moore gonna get all that attention. You put Mooney in the slot, you can't press him. He gonna be coming off that free release with that 4-3. Oh my god,
that's what I'm saying. It's gonna be ugly, man. That's why I'm like, look, we can turn a lot of heads. We can
that
get
line
can
put, just gotta.
Yeah, we just gotta just lay low.
Line gotta
just
come
lay
together.
Low.
They gotta come together.
But I do have a question. Over
Stop
under.
Getting injured.
Yeah, over that's under. The part.
Over under on Justin Fields, 30 total touchdowns. Over or under? 30 total touchdowns.
This season, my expectation with Justin, I'm gonna go over for running and passing.
Okay. Combined.
You know, I'm holding off on the 4,000 yards for this year passing, but my guess is a total of 4,000 yards. Offense and 30 touchdowns. Offense, like I'm thinking, like Justin's gonna probably throw for mid 20s on the touchdowns because you got the weapons, you got the tight ends, you got the wide receivers that can score, and he gonna get it. You know, Justin's gonna get 4, 5, 6, 7 touchdowns on a run because he's just that dude. He can break off and run for 70 yards at any given time. You know what I mean? He's just that athletic. And I think the passing, he might get somewhere around 3,300 yards, 35, and run for 600-700 yards. Total, like his total offense is probably going to be 4,000 yards running and passing, and 30 touchdowns running and passing. Like for offense, that's my standards. Okay. That's my standards for Justin.
That's your standard. 30 is 30.
Think Mike Vick in Philly. Remember when Mike Vick went to Philly and he stopped running as much, but he was throwing. And he had this. I'm thinking that Justin's going to be like around there. Like he Mike Vick never threw for 4,000 yards. But he threw for like 3,300 and ran for like 700-800 yards. I think that's for Justin. A good year for Justin.
Yeah. I'm gonna go over. I say he throws for 28 touchdowns, and I say he has another 6 to 8 rushing touchdowns. So that'll probably give him roughly 28 plus another 8. That give him about 36 total on the year. I give him that 36 total on the year. I give him about 3,800 yards passing. And on the interception tip, I probably give him about 8. That's not bad. 30, you know
no,
what I'm saying?
That's not bad at all.
So,
I mean,
you know, 28 passing touchdowns to 8 interceptions. Shit, that's damn good. I at 3,800 yards passing, I take that stat line any day.
Yeah, yeah. You know, 30 running and passing, I would go over as well. You know, I look at it and I like to break stuff down sometimes. You know what I mean? What do I need to do? Like Michael Jordan taught me this way back in the day. You know what I mean? He said, he always said it should be easy to average 20 points in the NBA. There's no reason why you can't. Give me a layup, a shot, and a free throw every quarter. That's 20 points. If you could do that once, give me one layup, get a steal and make a layup, get one jump shot, and give me one free throw. 1 for 2 at the free throw line, you get 20-point average. So, you know, I do the same thing with a lot of these things, right, as well. So you look at Justin Fields and you look at what he has. Okay, I look at it and I say, give me 5 touchdowns for Mooney, give me 5 for Kmet, that's 10. Give me 6 to 7 for Chase Claypool, right? That's 17, right? Give me 8 or 9 from DJ Moore. Give me, you know, maybe 2 or 3 to running backs. You set, bro. You know what I mean? There's no reason why you shouldn't be 25 to 30 touchdown passes, you know, if guys are competent enough to do it. So, you know, it's all about what they do if they come together and the offensive line protects and stays healthy. But I see no reason why you shouldn't get 30 running and passing this year.
Yeah, when you break it down, like let's say he plays 16 games, right? He misses a game. And you say 3,500 yards divided by 16. Let me see. I messed it up. 35 divided by 16. That's 218 passing yards a game.
Mm-hmm. Well, so you know what I mean? Because they play 17 now.
Yeah. Yeah. If he doesn't get hurt. I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I took
that's
him out.
That's 218. He should get that in his sleep.
Yeah. It, especially his talent, the way he throws the ball. Like, Justin could throw a 60-yard bomb a game. He does this every other game. The problem is our offense was so putrid. Like the defense, the offensive line, it wasn't even just a talent. The offensive line, I think, I like Dan, one of you guys said it, the health. Like, they got to stay healthy because some of it, they had an okay kind of talent, but they kept getting hurt. Cody Whitehead was hurt. Lucas Patrick was hurt. And that's how we ended up with Sam Mustafa at center because Doug Kramer got hurt. Everybody was hurt. Guys were in and out the lineup. So not only do you got to have talent, the line got to stay healthy. Yeah. The wide receivers got to stay healthy. We got more depth. We got DJ Moore, right, who hardly misses game. Chase Claypool, Darnell Mooney. We picked up Tyler Scott. At least Equanime and Say Brown knows the offense. He's like your number five, and Velus Jones.
Still got Velus Jones,
yeah. You got a little bit more depth. If a guy or two go down, the offense can keep going. And we got two tight ends. So if Cole Kmet misses a game, which he hardly ever does, and Tonyan, you know what I mean? Like, you got to have these pieces. Our offense was just so bad last year in that I think people's standards are like really low. It's a possibility Justin could throw for 4,000 yards. If everybody stays healthy, if you know what I mean, and he stays healthy, it's a possibility because 4,000 yards over 17 games in NFL season is 235 yards a game. That's not that much, but it takes so much for all that to happen. He has to stay healthy. The line got to stay healthy. The weapons got to stay healthy. But when you break it down, 235 yards, if DJ Moore is getting 100 yards, right, 80 to 100 yards, that's only 135 yards to everybody else. That's the Cole Kmet, the Darnell Mooney, Chase Claypool, Robert Tonyan, like you getting dump offs to the Roshan out of the backfield, Khalil Herbert out of the back. By the time you get through with all that, ain't that many more yards left. And that just shows you how bad our offenses have been, bro, especially under Matt Nagy, who was supposed to be offensive genius.
And like you said, that shows you how bad the offenses have been, you know, over the course of the last, what, 5, 6, 7 years.
This is Tressman, right? It's
been, what are our whys?
Future, yeah.
What is the why?
The whys.
Why?
Yeah.
Why? Because you suck. That's why. Yeah.
Because, like, think about it. Like, even, like, I know Cuddy didn't throw for 4,000, but because he missed, he will always get hurt and, like, caving down. But if you added all the yards, that's why you had Jeffrey getting 1,000 yards, Marshall getting 1,000 yards, Martellus getting 1,000 yards. That's what you got to have a good offense. You got to have three guys that can get you 1,000 yards.
Matt Forte catching 100 yards.
But Cuddy kept getting hurt, so he couldn't get that 4,000. But so it ain't that out of the possibility. I know us Bear fans are so used to like these horrible offenses. Mm-hmm. You watch old Bears games from the 90s, bro, and it was just like horrible to watch the offense. The defense, you hoping the defense get back on the field and get a turnover, bro. That's been our whole life. It might be flipped now. Like, you look at the offense, you're like, oh shit.
Yeah.
We might actually be good.
It might be different, man. It might be different. You know? Might be different.
I got a feeling this year is going to be totally different. Totally.
I hope so, man. I just want to see the strides made. I want to see guys making strides. I want to see Justin Fields making strides in the passing game. You know what I mean? I want to see, you know, Chase Claypool come into his own in his role as a number two. Darnell Mooney, I want to see him, you know, take strides as well. It's a lot of guys that need to step their game up too. You know what I mean? We got some of the things, and your GM and coach are making the right decisions. Now it's incumbent. It's upon the players. They got to have the onus on themselves to say, look, they putting us in the position. They doing some good things. They adding pieces. They giving us what we need. Now it's time for us to step up to the plate and start producing at a high level.
Speaking of right decisions, just to bring everybody current, have anybody paid attention to what Kevin Warren, our president, has done with the Arlington Park situation? Where Arlington Park, for those who have not been in the know, the officials and mayor and everybody else at Arlington Park in Arlington Heights, Illinois, had went to the negotiation table after the Bears and George McCaskey and company have decided that the Arlington Heights was going to be the new spot for our Chicago Bears. The Arlington Heights people, per se, the mayor and whatnot, decided to say, okay, they wanted to hit our Bears with a 500% tax surplus in this current state right now, where nothing is built at the site. Nothing is happening at the site. No money is being made at the site. But just because of the fact that it's the Chicago Bears, they were trying to pretty much rob the Bears as if they were stupid, trying to stick them up and empty their pockets. folks, I seriously, I don't know what this mayor is thinking in Arlington Heights. I don't know what the hell
I'm gonna tell you what he was thinking. He thought he was dealing with Ted Phillips.
Yeah, he really thought he was. Seriously, all jokes aside, and they were supposed to have another meeting, and Kevin Warren said, "Yeah, give them a call and tell them, yeah, we're not gonna make that meeting. We have a meeting here with the mayor of Naperville to see where we could possibly place the Chicago Bears at the new stadium." Uh-oh.
Yeah.
I mean, this is good negotiation tactics. It's good negotiation tactics, but it's also letting him know out there in Arlington Heights, be stupid if you want, motherfucker, and we'll go build elsewhere.
Yeah. In a heartbeat. Chicago Bears.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We're Chicago motherfucking Bears. Like, who do you think?
I will say this, too. That I doubt the Bears have the cash capital to pay that bill anyway, even if they wanted to.
100% surplus on taxes. Like, who you thought you were? The price gouging at its finest.
Yeah, I don't know where they thought they was going to get that money from. Who's going to give you that money?
Were they not even making the money?
They're not making that much. You know what I mean? Yeah,
they're not even making. Like, there's nothing there.
This is not Jerry Jones or Robert Kraft coming to you, right?
Yeah.
This is the McCaskies, and we know that they make the majority of their money off the Chicago Bears, not in other interests like oil and stuff like that. That these other owners make their money in.
Right.
You know, these are the broker owners of the NFL, right? The ones who have a little bit less. Than the majority in the NFL. So, you know,
a 500% where they thought they was getting that money surplus from. In taxes. Imagine that. You go and buy a foreclosed home. Imagine that. You go and buy a foreclosed home, and then the minute the city find out that you the one that owned the home, oh yeah, your taxes went up from oh, your taxes was $2,400. Now your taxes is a clear $25,000 because you bought it. Like, what? Hold up. What the fuck you mean? You out your damn mind? So I went from $2,400 to $25,000 just for the sake of, yeah. I mean, like, bro, hold up. Yeah. This house is still abandoned, homie. What you mean?
Crackheads living in it. I'm making your neighborhood better.
Right.
They selling ass outside your house.
Straight up. And you going to make me pay $25,000 a year in taxes when just a matter of 24 hours ago it was $2,400? Are you serious right now? That's what they tried to do to Chicago Bears, and Kevin Warren said, uh-uh. We ain't having it. Flat out.
Yeah, you got somebody that know they business, man. You know what I mean?
Kevin Warren is so cold.
They can write that off and move on from the old from
this
the whole
site. How cold Kevin Warren is. Kevin Warren was the main guy that got the Minnesota Vikings new stadium constructed and everything else, right? He was so cold in the negotiations that he got the governor to write off a tax break for the Minnesota Vikings. And now the Minnesota Vikings are set to pay off their stadium 26 years in advance.
You know he don't do that for Chicago.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Y'all don't understand what type of cold piece we got as the money man. Cold. That's why we hire Kevin Warren, folks. A bad man. So when he get this venue, when he get the, you know, when they finally close on the land, get the venue, and you can walk around the new stadium with no coat and walk around the new stadium from hotel to hotel and from hotel to casino and from casino to restaurant and get fucked up and then go from the restaurant and stroll right into the damn arena.
And I will be right there.
It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. And you ain't got to use a coat or nothing. You ain't got to leave the park. You ain't got to leave the grounds. Once you there, you there. You can do your shopping. You can do your eating. You can do your drinking. You can do your gambling. And then you go and watch the Bears.
And they got a situation jumping off where that one casino is opening up right in Chicago. So I think they can explore options in so many different areas.
Mm-hmm. So many they can stay.
You know, they can stay in Chicago.
Yeah, if you gonna hit us with that, I'm gonna stay.
Yeah.
So
You got a new mayor. I got a new mayor. What y'all talking about?
Yeah, and they still had a lease on Soldier Field until 2033 or 32 or something like that.
Yeah, you got no leverage. Like, these people don't understand leverage. Like, we got all the leverage.
Yeah.
You can't negotiate without leverage, man. That's silly on Arlington Heights. I don't know what the hell they thinking. Like, you got to come up. Like, you sitting here, you can change your whole city. You know how much money you come to that city?
Everything.
You like the Beverly Hills, Illinois, just with this one move, but you want to sit here and act stupid.
Be dumb if you want to. Be stupid if you want to.
Fuck around and find out. Oh, they gonna come back then and negotiate. Sorry, Mr. Warren, we were mistaken. Yeah, we meant 5%. 5%, not 500. Yeah, I don't know who put that. That had to be a typo.
That's silly, intern.
We fired them.
Silly intern. What a silly Negro.
You know what happens when you hire family?
Exactly.
Start trying to blame it elsewhere. Yeah. No.
Tell you.
So, yeah.
Go ahead.
Now, I'm just saying, man, this is an exciting time to be a Bear fan, man. You got a competent president, man. We were out here with Bulls fans, especially me and Dan Nez gave up on the Bulls. And so you see it as incompetent ownership and management, and then you actually get competence in there. It's like refreshing to see. It's like shocking that they don't get screwed. Like, to see Ryan Poles, like, trade down for one and not get screwed and make the right moves and then make the right picks. And
add a fourth.
It's like, it's crazy to see that, because we're never like, dude, the Bulls traded Jimmy Butler for Lauri Markkanen, right?
Yeah, I mean, and now he's gone,
and he's balling now. And you're like, what the hell are we doing? And it's crazy for once to see, like, man, these dudes know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's crazy to see that. Like, before, they would have done something stupid. They would have drafted another quarterback, right? And then traded Justin Fields, and Justin Fields would end up being the best quarterback in the NFL. Like, that's what we do.
And you know what? And it's an indictment on the fan base, what you saying, because they're so used to it that you had people out here clamoring and wanting those things to take place. Trade Justin Fields, get rid of him, restart the clock on the quarterback. You know what I mean?
That was a dumb
listen to the stupid ass Brian Tannenbaum. Like, why are you listening?
Restart the rookie contract.
Like, why are you listening to Tannenbaum? Didn't he get fired from his fucking job? So why are you listening to him? Obviously, he wasn't good at what he does, right? Or he'll still be a general manager.
Bro, the Kansas City Chiefs paid Pat Mahomes $500 million, and they still out here winning Super Bowls. I don't want to hear shit about no. Like, the NFL, you can make it work. I don't want to hear that. Yeah. You got to pay a quarterback. Who? That's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
You think the Cincinnati Bengals worried about paying Joe Burrow?
Nope, not at all.
No, hell no. The Eagles were worried about paying Jalen Hurts? Nope. You got a good quarterback, you just pay him. Or Buffalo. They don't know. No one cares. You got a quarterback, you got to pay him. That's a good problem.
If you pay him early, you win in the long
run.
Yes. I've said it time and time again. You look on the perfect example is Josh Allen. They paid him early, they signed him to his deal early. $41 million looks like a steal right now compared to everybody getting upwards of $50 million, right? So it's a steal at 41. So Justin Fields, when his time comes, if he balls out this year and his time comes,
he'll be re-up.
Sign him this year, re-up him this year. It doesn't take place until after the fifth year. So once you go for year four, year five, and then here come year six, Justin Fields sitting there at like, what, $52 million, $53 million a year, and everybody else is asking for contracts for 60, 65.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So if he balls out this year, he give us a total of 4,000 yards, 30. Sign him. Go ahead and re-up. Go ahead and re-up. And I tell people this, especially because, you never know. Like, no. You got to take into consideration, bro. High school, college, he had one bad year, his rookie year. Last year wasn't a bad year. Mm-hmm. It was actually a good year. He broke records in considering the circumstance. So he has another good year. You're talking about this man in his entire life only played one bad year of football, and we know why he played bad. Because Matt Nagy sucked and didn't know how to use him. If you put him in anybody else, he would have had at least a solid rookie year.
Matt Nagy sabotaged him, but go ahead.
Sabotaged him.
Nagy sucks. Nagy sucks.
I want to jump down to LA and take that. Not that for it. Never mind. But yeah, you sign him. You lock him down. That's a good problem. Like, people act like re-signing a quarterback is a bad thing. Only Chicago Bear fans can think like that.
Right.
We gotta sign a quarterback long term. What the hell? Like, that's an issue?
Like, all these other teams don't do it?
What the hell? Green Bay been doing it for 30 years.
Right. No problem.
Been stomping us for 30 years. We signing the Hall of Fame quarterbacks. We look at it like it's an issue. Only Bear fans, bro. Oh, whew. So yeah, man, it's an exciting time to be a Bear fan. I can't wait, man. I'm like y'all, man. I can't wait, man. I know we're not really giving out projections, but hell no, let's give out projections. Let's give out something. Way too early. What do you call it? Way too early
projections. Way too early projections.
Way too early.
We're going to give some way too early projections. I'll start off with mine. I think we're a year away from like being true contenders, but I'm a little optimistic, but I think we're going to have some ups and downs, and mainly because we're a young team, not because of talent. I think we got a rookie cornerback, right? Kyler Gordon's in his second year. They going to get burnt a couple times. They going to fall for a double move and be standing there with their hand on their helmet, and they going to learn from it.
Don't panic, people.
You know, it's going to happen. Darnell Wright is a mean mofo, but he going to come across one of them all-pro edge rushers, and he going to get Tristan worse. He going to get tossed like Khalil Mack did. And that guy was good, and Khalil Mack still chucked him like he was a rag doll. It's going to happen. I'm just telling y'all now. So I think the Bears end up 9-8, and we'll be number two in the division. I think the Lions will go like 10-7 or something. They won't be that far off, but they'll win double-digit games. They'll probably end up winning the division. We might make a wild card, get bounced out in that first year, but it's going to be on some exciting. We probably could have won 11 games if this didn't happen, if that didn't happen. You know, if that guy didn't fall down on that route, or if we got that call of Santos missed that 55-yard field goal at the end of the game. But it's going to be like an exciting, fun year. We get the wild card. We get bounced. But it ain't like in 2020 when we got the wild card and got bounced and it felt depressing. It's going to have a different feeling. It's going to have a feeling like, okay, we right there. We're going to go into the offseason with both our picks, all our cap space, young ascending plans, and we're going to be the hot team going into 2024. And deservedly so, and they're going to live up to the hype. But I think we get a wild card, man. I think we do.
I second that opinion. I think we get a wild card. And really, that's my floor. At first, I was saying 7-10. And I'm like, hell no, ain't no way. Because we were in 8 games last year. 8 games that came down to the last and final drive. That could have been again, it's a week-to-week league. But if the ball bounces the other way in those 8 games, we win a division, and we are a playoff team. And that's facts. That's facts. So I'm looking at it this year again. My floor is 10-7. My floor is 10-7, and we get a wild card. Now, again, I do not believe in the Detroit Lions at all, folks. I believe the Lions are the Lions. I believe the Lions caught people napping a lot of it last year. No one took them serious. And, you know, the Lions fans that was all on Twitter, you know, beating their chest and everything else. Like, motherfucker, you sat home just like we did. So what the fuck are you geeked about? You didn't make the playoffs either. But, you know, they have high expectations. And me living in the city of Detroit, you know, for a good portion of my life, I realized that anytime there's high expectations with the Detroit Lions, they fall flat on their face. Just like I think they will this year. So I don't believe the Lions will be for real. I believe that we will watch them get their asses kicked on opening night on Thursday against the Kansas City Chiefs. And then they have to play Seattle following that. They'll get their ass whooped again. They'll start the season 0-2. I believe that us will start the season 2-0. And probably be sitting the top of the NFC North. And with that, invigorating those wins, us getting over the Green Bay hump, because there is no way in hell we losing to Green Bay week one. Yeah. Us getting over that Green Bay hump, it does something to a team, and it's called morale, and it's called momentum.
Absolutely.
And it's momentum. And the fact that they look at it like, hey, we're a lot better than what we were last year. We were in a lot of games last year. But we're a lot better than what we were last year. And there is not a moment that when we step on the field, we think that we can't compete with the team that's across that line from us. So with that said, I'm going to go 10-7. Wild card. And if we hit the ground running and everybody's healthy, watch out. We can go 12 and I say 12 and 5. In all honesty, 12 and 5 for this Bears team, because I don't see anybody on our schedule that scares me. Not nobody. And with the weapons that we got, it could be different. But the thing was our defense was our Achilles heel, because they couldn't get a stop late in the game when we needed it and had to get off the field. Think about it. And then think about the teams that we lost to. Think about the Miami game.
Well, we lost some games that we should have won.
Miami game being one of them.
They lost on fumbles by Velus Jones.
Dropped passes. You know
what I mean? At the 3-yard line. Yep. Drop passes in the end zone. Drop touchdowns. So, yeah.
Dante Pettis. Remember that drop fourth down against Miami? Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. He ain't going to make the roster. There you go.
Mooney messed up. No. What's my man? Yeah. The tight end, not Cole Kmet, but the other tight end. Made a blunder. He didn't come out of his break.
Griffin.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Wesco, one of them.
Yeah. You had some situations like that. When it comes to this year, my way too early prediction, of course, and I try to explain this to people as well as I can, but there are some people that just don't understand. That don't understand how the game of football works, how momentum shifts, swings, things like that, that you alluded to, DeVore. In the game of football, guys can go from last place to first place. Mm-hmm. They can do that. It happens all the time. It happens probably once a year, usually. You know what I mean?
Look at the Giants.
No. Just look at Philadelphia. Philadelphia made strides, right? They made the playoffs that one year with Hurts. But nobody chose Philadelphia to go to the Super Bowl. But they ran away with it. They ran away with the Eastern, with the NFC, right? NFC, they ran away. But everybody could see that. The team caught that drive, they caught that momentum, and they went far with it. So, you know, these things can happen. And I'm going to liken it to this. I'm going to explain it. I'm just trying to break it down, because I know there are some listeners that don't quite get this. I'm going to break it down like this, because I know a lot of y'all play Madden, right? If you play Madden football and you're in franchise mode, go out there and get beat down by 40 points by somebody. Or catch a beat down, right? And your quarterback throws 3 or 4 interceptions that game. The momentum shift in Madden is similar to the football game. You have a bad practice. You have a bad week of practice. And it snowballs into more and more issues and problems going into the next week, the following week. And it takes a lot to overturn that. And that's what the Bears have fallen into several seasons, right? But on the other hand, if you go out there and you win a game and you go out there and you get this done, your development of the guys, they're locked in because we won. We won a game. Now they're locked in. Their focus is more pure in film session. They're working harder to keep their bodies healthy. They're working harder in the training room. This is things behind the scenes that people don't quite understand about football. You know, when you're on a losing streak, you lose a few games in a row, some of the attention to detail falls by the wayside. And that's what gets you caught up into this bad situation. And it's up to coaches to try to keep players from doing that. Mm-hmm. But it's impossible sometimes. So when my guys make predictions like the ones that they made, like 12 and 5, DeVore, you know what I mean? That's why he's making that prediction. It's not because he's a homer. It's none of that. Now, my prediction is not going to be that optimistic. I think the Bears are going to be around 8 and 9.
Okay.
And the reason I say that is because I just think there's so much to overcome in the trenches, right? And it's not just because, you know, playing football, that's where I played. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to, you know, give undue credit to what those guys are doing. But you got to have a pass rush. You got to have somebody to get after the quarterback, and you have to protect your quarterback. Those were the two main issues that the Bears had. Now, they're doing things to solidify that and shore it up, but I don't think enough has been done yet to make them competitive when it comes to making the playoffs. Now, could I be wrong? Could guys take off? Yeah, I could see them being 8 and 9, but if they get on a little winning streak and then all of a sudden guys are paying attention to detail and they're more focused in the film room and focused at practice and in the playbook like they should be, because they're winning cures everything, right? So that momentum goes further and it helps your development. So understand that, people. when we talk about these things, the momentum in football is one that cannot be denied, bro. Especially when you're winning games. When you're winning games, it's like everything just starts coming easier and easier and easier. Ask Philadelphia. Look at the role that they got on last year. But when you lose, trust me, all of that momentum goes out the window real quick too. So it just depends on what the Bears are able to do earlier part of the season and get on a little roll, try to catch some confidence and get guys to buy into it. Then, you know, it's looking up. But I'm thinking 8-9. That's where I'm thinking. And that's just because I just don't think they have a good enough pass rush. And I still need to see the offensive line come together as one and stop being musical chairs out there where you got a different lineman, you know, two different linemen every single week in the rotation.
Yeah. And we all know the trenches is where the Bears got improved. I do think the offensive line has more talent right now than the defensive line.
Yeah, like mainly,
but they do got to stay healthy. And I think that's because, like, when I think about it like this, who are your guys that can be studs? That can be potential all pros? And when I see the offensive line, I can come up with like two guys, I think, if they stay healthy and they're young. Tevin Jenkins can be a Pro Bowl, right? Darnell Wright, guys are already came out and said that this dude has the potential to be a Pro Bowler. I think Corey Wooten said he had the potential to be a Pro Bowler as a rookie. So that's very high praise. It's coming from a dude that played in the NFL. So I think about, okay, those are two dudes, because on offense, on the line, you got to have some people who are just like beasts that just dominate. And okay, Braxton Jones can be solid, but you still need guys that – Nate Davis can be solid. We know Cody Whitehair is kind of like a savvy veteran, but you got two guys who can be dominant. On the defensive line, you say, okay, I see a bunch of solid dudes. I see Justin Jones, a solid, good player, right? Mm-hmm. Billings is a solid, good player. We don't know what the rookies can be. Maybe Gavron Dexter, one of those guys can be solid. And you're like, DeMarcus Walker is solid on the edge. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, you know, we kind of questionable. So I feel you there, Dan. I'm just like, maybe I know Justin Houston played for Matt Eberflus and Colt for Indianapolis. He's a little bit better. You know, he's always gotten 7-8 sacks. Maybe you can bring in the player, like, but I don't think they're not going to get what they need to be this offseason with the edges. They're going to have to address that next offseason in a draft, in free agency, where they legitimately get like some bookend edge rushers that can legitimately get like 10-12 sacks.
Here's a little stat for y'all too, just to throw that in perspective. What Roy is saying is, like, going downfield last year, because of the pass rush, guys were able to get downfield on the Bears way better than they could on other teams, right? And that's wide receivers, running backs, tight ends. They can get down the field and get open. They were getting open. The passes were going 9.8 yards per throw downfield. That's longer than any other team. And that's because you didn't have a pass rush, right? It was a half a yard longer than any other team in the NFL. And that's because you don't have a pass rush. When the pass rush gets there faster, they got to let go of the ball quicker, which means guys don't have as much time to get downfield. So the defensive line affects everything you want to do in the secondary. And if we want the secondary to grow, those guys got to be able to put some pressure on the quarterback, put him in position to make mistakes, to throw errant throws, to put the ball in harm's way. That way you can get some turnovers. And once again, once you get turnovers, momentum shifts. Now guys start paying more attention in practice. They start doing the little things that they need to do, and it snowballs into good things. But when you don't have that, exactly. When you don't have that, you don't have your confidence going that direction, all of a sudden, everything starts compounding on you, and it becomes worse than what it even is.
Yeah, but also, too, I want to say on that note, we've been such a defensive-minded, and not only we Chicago Bears fans, right? I think the offense is going to be the unit that leads this team this year, which is going to be different for us Bear fans. I don't think the defense is going to be as bad as they were last year, because they added too many. We added cornerbacks. We added linebackers. We even added depth on the defensive line, whether or not it was the highest quality possible. But we added edge rushers. We added Green. We added Walker. Are they all pros? No. They're solid NFL players, right? We added Javon Dexter. We added Zach Pickens. We added Andrew Billings. So we added players. We added Edmonds and Edwards and drafted Sewell. So we added Stevenson and Smith young secondary players. So they should be improved, but I think like my improvement for the defense is like we were 32nd. Bro, give me the 20.
Mm. Yeah.
Give me the 20 to where we're not just getting raped on defense. I ain't even asking for average. I ain't even asking for 16. Give me 20.
That's feasible, bro.
With Eberflus and Allen Williams, these are defensive-minded guys. You added players, young athletic players. We should at least not be the worst. But I think the offense, with the way we run the ball, we were the best running team in the NFL.
Yep.
I don't think that's going to change. That's going to stay the same. We're going to probably be the best rushing team in the NFL. And if we can at least get our passing game, I will say this. I believe the passing game should at least be average because I believe Justin Fields is that talented. I believe DJ Moore, Robert Tonyan, and Roschon Johnson, and Tyler Scott, and these guys are that talented.
Mm-hmm.
I think Chase being here another year, getting Mooney back healthy, they should be enough talent. And Justin Fields is enough talent. And if the key for the offensive line to me, out of everybody on the offensive line, this is the key. It's one guy who's key to me. Tevin Jenkins. If Tevin Jenkins can stay his ass on that field,
yeah,
I don't give a damn about Cody Whitehair or Lucas Patrick. Centers don't block one-on-one anyway. They're always like helping out. They don't have to hold one-on-one blocks. I think Braxton Jones will take a step. He's going to get stronger. That's what happens when you lift weights. You get stronger.
Right.
I think Wright will be solid. Nate Davis is proven to be solid.
Right.
Jenkins and Patrick, they veterans. They can, either one of them will find on me. Tevin Jenkins. If that man can play 15, 16 games, hell, if he plays 17, that line will be good. Unit will be good.
Yeah.
Very good.
That offense can be top 10. They have enough talent to be top 10, and they can carry a defensive unit that's ranked 20th. You can win games 28 to 21.
Right.
We couldn't do that before. You know, we had to keep people below 21 points because we couldn't score.
They had to keep them below 30 sometimes. Shoot, it was games we were scoring 30 last year.
Yeah, it was games we were scoring 30. Like, you're going to have games like that where this Dolphins is going to score 30-something, 35 points. Right. And the defense just going to have to, like, not give up 40.
and that's another thing. Like people, understand that while you know the Chicago Bears and you look at, okay, Jalen Johnson and everybody, you know what I mean, whatever. Kyler Gordon and Jaquan Brisker, and you say, oh, these guys suck because Tyreek Hill burned a lot of people. He burns everybody
everyone,
he plays.
Everyone.
Everybody he plays, he burns. So if they get toasted, it's not the end of the world, people. It ain't the end of the world. They just going up against top-notch talent. Hall of Fame caliber talent.
But that's the NFL, though. You win some and you lose some.
You win some and you lose some.
You know, you just hope that you win more than you lose. That's it.
Exactly. Ain't nobody.
But you going to lose. Because shit, these are some of the most talented cats on the planet, man.
Yeah,
they're
freaks.
These are genetic freaks playing football. They're the most talented cats on the planet. You going to win some, you going to lose some. You don't win all the time. Hell, best corners in the league, man, at one point in time was Jalen Ramsey. And my man Xavier, that plays for the Dolphins. Yeah. They was getting burnt, okay? Yeah. Jalen Ramsey was getting beat like a damn drum. You know what I'm saying?
He got beat in the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. They just got the pressure to Burrow before he can get the ball off.
That's how that's traded to Miami.
Yeah.
So,
he got burnt.
Damn, he got traded to Miami, right?
Yeah.
Woo.
Miami stacked.
Now they got Xavier and oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh. We got them on the schedule. I want to. No. We owe them. We owe them, but for some reason.
We don't owe them this year.
It seems like Miami always been a thorn in our ass since 85. Always been a thorn in our ass. Always.
Yeah, we ain't got them this year. I just looked at the schedule. Thank God.
Good.
I don't want to see them this year.
For real.
The one juggernaut we got this year is the Chiefs. They are.
We're going to handle business. I think we're going to handle business.
This is scary.
It's gonna be a good one. It's gonna be a good one. It's gonna be a shootout.
It's at KC. This is what I think, and I heard somebody say this. I don't know if it was Adam Johns or something. Like, when you got Justin Fields and how we believe in Justin Fields, I look at games like who got the better quarterback? Us versus Green Bay. We got the better quarterback. We got the better quarterback. They got Jordan Love. Us versus Tampa Bay. We got the better quarterback.
Absolutely.
Kansas City Chiefs, I'll give it. The Chiefs got a better quarterback.
Yeah.
Right now, what, Denver versus Chicago, I'm taking Justin Fields over Russell Wilson right now.
Same.
I don't know who the hell the quarterback for the Washington Commanders is. Who's the quarterback?
It's my man, Heinicke.
Is it him?
Yeah, Taylor Heinicke.
We got a better quarterback. Us versus
we owe them too, by the way.
Yeah, we got a better quarterback. Us versus the Vikings, I'm not a.
We got
I'm
the
not
better quarterback.
We got the quarterback. The Raiders versus us.
We got the better quarterback.
That's what feels better than Jimmy Garoppolo.
Hell, they don't even know Jimmy Garoppolo even going to be on the roster.
Yeah, Chargers, I give them. They got Justin Herbert right now. Justin Herbert's better than he's better than Justin Fields for now.
Oh no, they got Sam Howell and
Sam. No. I don't care who they had. I was like, if I don't know who your quarterback is, you ain't got a good quarterback. You got question marks. The Saints, Derek Carr. They got Derek Carr. I'm taking Justin Fields with Derek Carr.
Me too.
And he's. I think Derek Carr is solid, but I'm still taking Justin Fields. You don't lose sleep over Carr. You lose sleep over Justin Fields. I try to tell people that. Does your quarterback keep defensive coordinators up at night? Justin Fields keep defensive coordinators up at night.
Facts.
Bryce Young,
absolutely.
Yeah. Bryce Young with the Carolina, he's a rookie. Sorry.
I can't wait till we get into that too, because we got to get into
all the Panthers fans.
What Justin Fields brings to the table.
Yeah.
And why the offense can be dynamic, because there's reasons why. We just need to help people to understand why. But go ahead.
The Lions, I'm taking Justin Fields over Goff. Same thing. We got the Vikings better. Same thing's back to the Lions. Cleveland, they got Deshaun Watson.
That's
depends
gonna be
on
a
what version.
That's going
to
be
depends
a
what version. Last year, Deshaun Watson, Justin Fields is better. If he returns to the Deshaun Watson that we know, I'll give that to the Cleveland Browns. We don't need that. Kyler Murray, what the hell? What? I don't know, man.
He ain't even going to be playing. He's out for the season. So, and this is something that I'm going to say on the podcast, folks. Truly believe it looks like the Arizona Cardinals are tanking this season. For those who are not in believing of what I'm saying, look at the fact that when they cut DeAndre Hopkins, they ate all of the contract. Okay, they didn't look for nobody else to take the money. They didn't look for nobody else to go ahead and be a third party to take off some of that cap hit. They don't give a shit. They looking at it at this point in this season. Let's tank everything we can, get this shit off the books. And if they so happen end up with the number one pick, they're gonna ship off Kyler Murray too. I guarantee it.
Think so?
Positive. They're eating 23.
They're getting the number one. Do they take Marvin?
Nah. They don't. I don't think this GM fuck with Kyler Murray, bro. To be totally honest, that's not his guy. And Caleb
it's always sketchy when you change GMs. That's why everybody's worried about Justin Fields.
And Caleb Williams is projected to be Patrick Mahomes like. So, I mean, I've seen the boy play at SC. That's a bad motherfucker.
Nah, he's a bad dog.
That motherfucker's sweet. He just got a net. He just played for a sorry ass team, but.
Yeah.
That motherfucker sweet, dog. He's sweet.
He's sick. Yeah. To round it off, we got the Atlanta Falcons. Yeah, we got
the better
quarterback. And the Green Bay Packers. So, bro, legitimately, like, I'm just being completely honest. There are three teams who I can say, I'll say they got a better quarterback. I'll say the Chargers, because Justin Herbert. Pat Mahomes, who we already know, he's the best quarterback in the NFL. And I'll lean on the Browns, and I'll say Deshaun Watson is going to return after he went through all this legal trouble. He's going to return to being who he was.
You do glutes?
I'll say he'll return. Some people, that the stat nerds and the fantasy players, and they're going to be like, oh, no, statistically, Kirk Cousins and Jared Goff and Derek, I don't care. Nobody's scared of them, bro. Like, and this is what Dan was talking about. Like, you got to think like a defensive coordinator when you face the player.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't nobody losing sleep over Kirk Cousins, bro. Nobody is saying we must stop Kirk Cousins. We can't let Kirk Cousins beat us.
No, they're talking about Justin Jefferson. They're not talking about Kirk. They say, can we stop? Can we slow him down some way? Because Kirk will make mistakes if he can't just get the ball to Justin Jefferson. That's
exactly
what defensive coordinators are saying.
That's
nobody worries about Kirk, though.
When you go against the Chicago Bears, you're like, how the hell are we going to stop DJ Moore? How the hell are we going to stop Justin Fields? And how are we going to stop that rushing attack?
And think about it. We got to have a spy. That's the first thing. I play defense. That's the first thing that you're thinking. We got to have a spy this week on Justin, because he's going to break the pocket. He's going to get out. So that takes one guy away from whatever you want to do. Now you're playing 10 on 11, basically.
And then on top of that, Dan, you know what Justin Fields, you know what also Justin Fields is great at? Because people say he's just a running back. He's great at throwing the ball down the field. Great at pushing the ball down the field. He is one of the most accurate passers down the field.
And
NFL teams know that. And throwing on the run. So they like, okay, we got to put a man in the box, but we also have to make sure this dude don't drop an 80-yard bomb on us with his 4-4, 4-3 wide receivers. Teams are worried about that. Ain't nobody worried about Derek Carr. Ain't nobody worried about Jared Goff. They not worried about them.
We scoff at Goff. That's the saying here in Detroit. We scoff at Goff.
Nobody worried about them, bro. I'm just being honest. So think how, like, go watch those, like, Edwards had a, he was mic'd up versus the Bears.
Yep.
In the game versus the Bears. And listen to him talk. He's like, God damn, man. He's like, chasing his ass all over the field, man. Pass the ball, man. Shit. Like, they're like, I'm tired. I'm chasing this guy all over the field. He won't stay in the pocket.
Mike McDaniel, when he was playing, yeah. Why don't you quit running? During the game, yeah.
Because it affects the passing game, too, because if he runs towards the line of scrimmage, it causes the defensive players to rush up the field, and he throws the ball. That's why Cole Kmet was so open.
Yeah.
It's
hard
skill
to defend
set
against him, man. Yeah. It's hard.
Yeah.
Think about it. Like, if we said you play Madden, right? You playing the guy that can run, and then he breaks that pocket and starts running towards the line of scrimmage. You, the defender, should I stay on the wide receiver, or should I rush the quarterback? It's a problem.
What year was Vic on the cover? What year was he on? Was it 2000?
Shit, he was on there quite a few times. He was on there in 2004. 2004.
Yeah. No, the first time.
Oh, with the Atlanta Falcons. Yeah, 2004.
Did nobody want to play?
No.
If he was playing Michael, I ain't playing.
Yeah. You can play Madden, but don't use Vic. Right. Don't use Vic.
And that was the Madden rule. Like, you can play with anybody, but you can't play with Vic.
Especially if we playing for money. If we playing for money, ain't no way I'm playing with Vic.
Yeah.
ain't no way.
Like, come
ain't
on,
no way.
That's cheating.
Nah.
Mm-hmm. And that's what it's like in real life, because not only can he run, but he can launch that damn ball 80 yards down the field, and you're just like, what am I supposed to do? How do I stop this? That's why him and Lamar Jackson are so deadly. Embrace it, bro. Embrace it. So people
love
just
feel it. Love it.
He keeps people. I think next time, I don't know, we've been going on for a while.
We've been on it. Down. But hey, we had a lot to talk about, though.
Yeah. Absolutely. We had a lot to talk about. And I know a lot of y'all want to hear it, too. A lot of y'all be like, when y'all dropping, man?
Yeah.
When y'all dropping, man?
Back like every Monday. Crack. Be back, though.
Be back, man. I got a couple shout-outs. I want to get a shout-out. I know a couple is on it. Bear Down Pod. Ryan and them, we were on there. I want to give another shout-out to my man Deeks. And they got a podcast called, let me get him up. They got it's called Next Wave Bears.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were on there, man. Them boys, they doing it, man. They doing a big thing over there. My man that does the Windy City highlights, he was on there. I'm gonna give a shout out. Yeah, the Windy City Productions.
Yeah,
him and they got a pod. They were like, hey, we want to have you on there. They, you know, they share love to the Kings. They got love for us. So I'm gonna give love back. Same thing with the Bear Down Pod. And everybody that been hitting us up saying, y'all need to drop.
Yeah, for sure.
Shout out to Ill Will Brooks, too.
Yeah, I was just about to shout him out. Shout out to my man, Ill Will Brooks. Drop dog in the sixth round. TKO. Handle business. Spank that ass. That's what
and
I'm talking
about. And he got on
about
there. I like the tweet that he came with later on. Like, when they was talking about Conor McGregor fighting, what's his name? Chandler or whoever it was. He said, I'm going there. If Conor don't want that, I go in there and beat him again.
Right.
Again. My dog out there talking cash money. I like it, man. I love it.
Call in the mercenary, baby. That's what I like. Also, shout out to 3 Point Stands Pod. Shout out to 3 Point Stands Pod. You know what I'm saying? And my man Bill over there doing their thing, man. You know, we inspiring a lot of people, man, and that's cool. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's enough money out here for everybody to eat. It's enough room for everybody to do their thing.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying? So we don't hate around here. That's one thing
we don't do.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. If you can get on. And however you do it is however you do it. So shout out to him as well. You know, shout out to Kelly. And Fuego, shout out to Kelly out there.
Kales
doing her thing. Kales. You know what I'm saying?
Doing her thing.
Shout out to Kales out there, man.
She stay doing her thing. She got a little podcast that she do.
Absolutely.
Yeah. She does so much stuff, man. Yeah, for sure.
We got to get her on the show one time.
Yeah,
man.
We do.
We're going to do it.
Yeah,
we got to get her on the show one time. See if she can go ahead and tap in with us, you know what I'm saying, and rock with us for an episode.
Absolutely. But shout out to, you know, who's my shout outs? I mean, you guys covered it, man. I wanted to shout out some of the same people. So we appreciate y'all guys rocking with us. We appreciate everybody that pays attention. They hit us up You know, absolutely. You guys keep us motivated too, man. You know what I mean? So, you know, we missed a couple of weeks, of course. You know, we had some things going on, took care of some stuff, you know what I mean? And we back, we ready for the season. We locked and loaded, you know what I mean? We got plenty of hot takes coming. We got plenty of predictions. We got plenty of good, bad, wrong, right, whatever mm-hmm. you want to call it. And for all of the haters out there, man, I love y'all, man. I love y'all.
Oh yeah,
eat a dick.
If you ain't got haters, you doing something
wrong.
You gotta
have
haters. It'd be people. I'd be like, who are you? I didn't even know you existed.
You man,
like,
who are you telling?
I'd be like, who are you?
Who are you?
They
telling?
Be coming out of nowhere, bro. They coming out of nowhere. I'm telling you.
And then you gonna look at their profile. It's never them in their profile.
No,
pig.
Never.
My man's coming out of the sewer picture, man. I'm posting it all season, bro.
Like my joking, man, what was that? My man trying to post my display pic or something. I'm like, what, everybody just got to killing him. Like, it's like what you thought this was a win, didn't you? Like, you look bad, bro. Some Wisconsin dude, you know what I'm saying? Cause
a couple of the
Wisconsin cheeseheads out there got mad because they love boat was below average. You know, it was a bunch of D-minus looking women on that boat.
Oh man.
And then the killer for me though was Simone Biles was on there. Who said Simone Biles was fine, bro? Because she not to me at all. That's another. Yeah, I give her a D+. So you know that was a D+ and a bunch of on a boat full of D-minuses. All right. Enjoy F's. That L, Green Bay.
F's. It was F's.
F's.
She's a hell of a gymnast, though. I give a props.
Hell of a gymnast. Yeah, hell of a gymnast. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, she's definitely one of the best female athletes and athletes of our time. However.
Yeah. Simone Tice, she cool. She cool.
She cool. I ain't got no beef.
She ain't for no looker. Nah. I ain't.
Nah.
She ain't no looker. I'm going to tell you that, goddammit. She ain't shutting down Instagram. I'm just being honest. They ain't gonna put it down. I'm just being honest.
We try to be nice. Be nice.
Hey, I'm glad it's just audio because if we had this on YouTube right now,
be nice.
She ain't shutting down Instagram. I'm just going, I'm just,
be nice.
And, you know, it wasn't no eye candy on that boat. It was a lot of eyesores. You know what I'm saying?
I'm
just being honest.
Spoiled cheese. What's spoiled that one cheese that's
moldy? Moldy cheese, man.
Limburger. Bunch of Limburger on there.
Limburger cheese.
Limburger cheese.
Ugh.
Cheese is melted.
Yeah, that shit was terrible, man. Maybe. And then more dumbasses came out. Maybe that's their wives on there. That makes it even worse. What? You married that shit? Like, yuck.
You know, my thing is, man, people need to chill out on the fake outrage. You ain't outraged. What are you mad at? What are you really mad at? Because your wife don't look no better than them D-minuses.
That's what it
F's
is.
That was on there. That's what it is. Let's just be real about it. Let's call it what it is. You mad because your wife looked worse than what we was laughing at.
Exactly. That's why you got your little panties in
the bunch. Dogs holler. Hit dogs holler. What they say, hit dogs holler?
Yes, sir.
That's it.
Right. That shit was rough on that boat, man. Like, god damn.
Man, if they making fun of her, I know mine, man. I don't picture mine.
You know, don't.
Don't. Do us all a favor.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Do us all.
I'll post an Alpo as soon as you do it.
Oh, man.
Pictures of Alpo dogs.
They married to a bunch of Gary Buseys.
Oh, shout out to my boy. Shout out to my boy, Holocorrexus. And shout out to Holocorrexus. Justin had me dying. The picture, he tweeted it. Somebody tweeted a picture of Pink, right?
Oh.
He walking around in a bikini, bro. He got a bikini on.
He said she looked like Gary Busey, man. I cried, man.
Bro, I was dying, bro.
That was Justin?
Dying. Yeah, that was Justin, man.
Oh, my God.
Said, this dude ain't got no sense, man. Oh, he ain't got
Gary
no sense.
Busey, dude.
That's why the Packer Busey. Fans was mad, man. They married to a bunch of Gary Buseys, man. That's facts, because that's what I saw on that damn boat. Like, ugh.
Wisconsin living is rough, though. Ooh. Rough out damn.
That's why Aaron Rodgers wanted out.
Exactly.
Hey. Like Barkley
New York,
said,
they don't know what to do in New York. They don't know what to do themselves.
What Barkley say about San Antonio?
San Antonio.
It's some big old women in San Antonio. There's some big old women. Victoria ain't no secret out there because she ain't being bought. Lane Bryant all day. He said Lane Bryant all day. There's some big man. Shaq be damn near losing every time he talk about San Antonio.
Kenny be trying to be serious. Kenny be like, be nice.
He be like, what's out, Charles? What's out there? There's some big old women in San Antonio. Like, Jesus, man.
Oh, man.
There's some Gary Buseys in Wisconsin.
Gary Buseys. I'm posting that, bro.
Woo, it's some Gary Buseys in Green Bay, Wisconsin, boy. God,
oh, boy.
I just had to give it to him, man, one time on the pod. Ooh. Lord. I know.
That's rough.
Hey, man, ain't nobody going to Green Bay to find a wife. We know that.
No.
Nobody.
You conditioned to like that shit. Like, my God, bro.
Well, that's how it is. If that's all you see.
You conditioned to like that. Like, ugh.
If that's all you see. That's all you see.
Mm. Ain't nobody winning no beauty pageants out of Green Bay, I'll tell you that.
Have they ever had a Miss America?
Never. Never.
Jet Beauty of the Week.
Nowhere near in sight. Nowhere within 300 miles.
Never. Never.
Never had a video vixen out of Green Bay,
Never.
Wisconsin.
Never.
Never. Damn. Damn, it's got to be rough living out there. That's fucked up.
Can you imagine if you played high school out there, bro?
Oh, man. I'll be hopping in the transfer portal in high school. Like, yo, I got to get up off this joint. This shit, it's down bad out here, baby.
Ma, they hiring. They hiring in the city. You get your city job.
But see, the thing is, though, it don't get no better, though, because you know what I'm saying? You got Milwaukee right up the street, man. Them bras look rough.
Well, they do all that drinking.
They look rough.
They be drinking
bro,
them Milwaukee's
like, rough.
Best.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm going to tell you, all Milwaukee, Wisconsin females.
They drink. I'm telling you, they drink beer at that. They ain't drinking mimosas. They ain't drinking the cute stuff.
Bro, they drinking Milwaukee's best.
They ain't drinking martinis.
They drinking Milwaukee's best and Schlitz. Like
banquet beer,
bruh. Like all they women out there, especially, bruh. Look, I spent time in Milwaukee, bro. Why all they women look like Sada Baby? I'm not playing, bro. Like they look rough. They look like Sada Baby and Fo 2 Doug. All of them.
Beer and cheese, bro. Beer and cheese.
Beer and cheese. Like, I'm telling you. They drink. I had a buddy that went to school out there. He said they drink a lot of beer in Wisconsin. The chicks, everybody, they chug it. Ugh. That's their way of life.
God.
Like you will most places, most chicks, they be trying to drink like martinis, mimosas, and mojitos. And,
they go to brunch and they sit down with a Colt 45.
They drinking IPAs out there.
IPAs. Right.
But see,
double IPAs.
That's why they women be built like landscapers, bro. Like
they drink stouts.
Bruh, they women be built like landscapers, bro. I'm dead ass serious. That big ass back and them skinny ass legs.
They
built just like
landscapers
and shit. Like,
They built like brick masons. They work with grit brass.
With that long ass with a line down the middle.
They journeyman on Greg Brady's brick mason team.
God, dope.
Iron workers and electricians, bro.
They cement masons.
Built like plumbers and shit. Like, and they be having to earn their leggings over that shit.
They wake up mixing mortar every day.
Mixing mortar.
Laying drywall and shit.
They wear back braces at work.
Yeah, straight up.
I don't want a woman that wear back braces when she go to work. You need to do something feminine. You need to be in the office. You need to have nails. You need to be in healthcare.
With a square hanging out their mouth. With the construction Tims on. Looking hella crazy.
Why your hands so callous, baby?
Man, what was that clip that I had posted a while back with them
bricks.
Big back bras dancing on the dance floor? You remember that shit?
Oh yeah,
it was looking crazy as hell. That's Milwaukee. What did I say? I was like, meanwhile in Green Bay.
In Green Bay, yep.
They was out there getting it. I'm like, yuck.
Wild and crazy, bro.
Oh man, that's it. I ain't got.
Yeah, I was like, we off the rails. We are bad in the state of Wisconsin. Oh man,
you big broads, man. We not laughing at y'all. We just laughing at the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
But we can laugh at you though, if you want it. Oh, trust, you can get all the smoke. But I love my big girls, man. Shit. Yeah,
ain't nothing wrong with
them. Ain't nothing wrong with big girls. Hell.
We talking about Wisconsin.
I love that fupa.
They rough. They rough. Nah. It's a difference.
Yeah,
they rough.
Them bitches rough. Them
rugged. Big. They
you
rugged.
Can big and still be feminine. They ain't
when
feminine.
When you're a woman, you never want to be described as rugged.
Yeah. Masculine.
Raw. Rugged.
Hey, them bras.
Can I get a rough neck? Get a rough neck. Can I get a rough neck?
Right.
And MC Light was talking about men. We talking about women.
Right.
Any R words for women is not good. Rough.
Raw.
Raw, rugged. No, that's
Wrangler.
Not good.
And ratchet.
That's not good.
Ragged.
Ratchet.
Ratchet.
Raggedy.
Rough.
Damn.
On that note,
we done went in on them with Green Bay women, bro.
Shout out to Big Noah Genesis, a second cousin.
He yeah, my man.
Yeah,
my man making music. He got some music out, so I want to get shout out there. That was one shout out I forgot to get.
Y'all go listen to his thing, man. Listen to his joint.
He's on Spotify, Apple Music, sure. YouTube. He's all out there, so check him out.
Man. Hey, I gave shout it out to Joycelyn.
That's what's up.
Jock her. Shout out to Dan for sending me that picture, but Jesus Christ. Cardio sesh, oh my lord.
Which one is that? Oh yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. Shout out. Yeah, definitely.
If y'all ain't seen that picture, look.
She puts the work in.
At J-O-C-C-H-E-R-R. My Jesus.
She puts the work in. She's not rough. She's not raw.
Man. Talk about she put the work in. Boy, I like to put some work in. God damn. Man. Woo. Boy.
Oh, man. Y'all boys is crazy.
Oh, Lord.
Had a good time, man. Jesus Bros, right, that's looking like young Jock right now. We'll holler at y'all later.
Young Jock. Jocking on him.
Peace.
We out.
And bear down.